Congressman Tim Walberg is back in beautiful downtown Tipton today.
Well, we're in the suburbs of Tipton and glad to be home. I jumped into bed at midnight last night after flying home. Glad to be able to get out of there. But sounds like that's a great happening there in Jackson right now. And I think that's a reminder, not just the season, but this is what America is about. Citizens, local communities doing for themselves what they want to do to help people. And I think as we easily get depressed when what we see going on in the world affairs and in government at times, and of course the COVID thing that's promoted fear, and continued fear, that's still a great place, and Jackson is just exemplary of that with what they do. They just next year, along with the other singers, they need to invite the carol singing band of Louis Gomer, Tim Walberg, and Kai Kahele. We lead the congressional prayer breakfast in song every Thursday, and Kai with his ukulele. I mean, a Hawaiian has to play a ukulele, and Louis Gomert and I on the guitars. It would be a wondrous sight in downtown Jackson, and maybe we can pull that off.
We'll sign you up for that. you're signed up next year. You better be there.
People may stay away.
Well, it's been obviously a horrible week here in Michigan, Tim.
A horrible week. And again, as it develops, they may indeed see ways that this could have prevented. But in the end, I think it shows us that we have to redouble our efforts in encouraging the values that that really have stood the test of time. And that goes back to our home life, encouraging homes to be responsible and taking responsibility for the kids. And government has to stop trying to usurp that authority, but leave it back with the homes, with the families, encourage the development of solid homes and kids that have a hope for the future and not a fatalistic point of view that nothing good is happening, nothing is going to be good for my future, and so why should I care about now? Let's give them a moral compass that establishes them in a life that is helping and building, as opposed to looking inwardly at themselves and losing track of what reality is. So, no, it was horrific, and my heart goes out to those four families that lost kids at the prime of their life. You know, hear the story about the one blossoming a football star, linebacker, I guess he was, who tried to take down the shooter and ended up giving his life doing that. There's character there and commitment, and we have to draw from that. But Oxford needs to be in our prayers, concerns, and then as law enforcement does what they need to do and prosecutorial effort takes place, hopefully we'll find some answers that will assist us in the future to not see this happen. And Michigan has been out of that spotlight for almost forever. This just hasn't happened in Michigan. And so it's come to Michigan now, and we have to be part of the solution.
Yeah, the question is, will anybody do anything about it? And, you know, you can offer all the prayers you want. If we just sit there and do nothing,
I don't think nothing will be done. I think things will be done, but we want to make sure we do the right things. When people talk to me at times and say, do something, well, my first question is, okay, what do you want me to do? What is the thing that we really ought to do? And in here, we have to get to the bottom of it. Number one, why did this kid have that gun? Why, when the parents had at least been notified that he's got a problem and it's developing, and it wasn't just this week, why in the world was he capable of having his hands on that gun and ultimately bringing it to school? And then we're hearing that the parents and he with the administrators had a meeting that very morning. And it's how was this missed?
Unthinkable.
What were the signs? I mean, he was posting online. We know a number of these shooters in the past. They've been online. This week we had a fairly extensive hearing on Section 230 with Big Tech in our Telecommunications Subcommittee on Energy and Commerce, in which I sit. And that goes into question. I've taken a real lead in the impact on youths and children. Which, you know, as I said, as far as the internet, as far as the social media, I don't want anybody censoring me, and I'm the only good censor, but you shouldn't trust me to censor either. As an adult, I need to take responsibility, but kids, it's a different story. We have to ratchet back the negative impact that Facebook and TikTok, which is a Chinese operative. Why in the world are we letting that take place in our kids' lives? And we got to make sure that parents understand that you're responsible. I mean, you're a parent. Later on, you can be a friend of your kid. But for right now, you need to be a parent. And when we have the bullying that's taking place and the sexual exploitation, et cetera, that go on the internet, no wonder some of these kids feel that nothing is good in life, and so why should I even worry about what I'm going to do in relationship to this? And so those are things that adults can start acting on. In Congress, we have to do something, keeping the network available, keeping internet moving, keeping the government hands off as much as possible. But on some common sense stuff, we got to hold accountable those that would allow the tragic and negative things that take place. So, there's a lot of stuff that we have to look into relative to this Oxford situation, but a lot of other things too. And it's just what we do. Let's make sure it's the right thing and not just the reactive thing.
Can you imagine sending your 14-year-old daughter to school and you never see her again?
Oh, no, I can't. I had a 14-year-old daughter at one time. Fortunately, in her days, we didn't see as much of this because the internet was still relatively new, in social media especially. But there were still challenges. And as a parent, I had to take concerns, not only praying for my daughter, but actively working with her and my two sons as well. So it is something else. But again, we cannot live in fear. And let it destroy the opportunities that we have. But when things like this happen, we certainly need to do a thorough evaluation. And when we find out something that truly is helpful to do, let's do it and pull together as a society, as a community, as governmental institutions, et cetera, and get it done. No, I agree with you on that.
Should kids shouldn't have guns, should they?
They certainly shouldn't have in school. It's illegal. It's illegal. It's illegal to have a knife in school.
Any weapon. Why would a kid have a weapon?
But remember, you and I were able to go to school, and we could have our 22s or our shotguns in the trunk of our car if we drove to school with our car. And I always had a pocket knife on me. I've got to be careful that I don't go to the airport with a pocket knife because I always have a pocket knife. It's just we played mumbly peg and stretch on the schoolyard during recess time with our pocket knives. But we didn't kill people with them. So I think the bigger question is, why has it come in our moral structure today that kids feel that it's proper, if they feel it's necessary, to use a weapon, whether it's a knife or whether it's a handgun or whether it's a rifle or whether it's an AK-styled weapon, and bring it to school to make a point? Why? I think that's the deeper question. Where has the moral situation in our culture gone? And, you know, this week we had the Supreme Court hearing on what effectively could be the demise, I truly hope, of Roe v. Wade. When we discount the value of lives, now that we know that there is viability and humanity a lot earlier than what was thought of with Roe v. Wade, wrongly so, but nonetheless, now we have ultrasound, etc., and yet we're still taking life and blatantly saying this is health care. For who? For that little child. So if we're able to take the most innocent among us, that's a live human being, Yes, in the womb, of course, but a live human being will not be nothing else than a live human being if allowed to continue. And we can take that out. Then why are we surprised that kids have no understanding of the sanctity of life these days and can walk into a school and arbitrarily shoot classmates, at least apparently right now, with no intended targets, just who was there in the way at the time? That's the bigger question, Greg. As a Christian, I think I have an answer to that, where we have to go. But in our society, it's not just guys like me that need to talk about it, but we need to talk about how we move the moral compass back to at least the golden rule, at the very least the golden rule. And that can cross all religions, of doing unto others as we would have done unto ourselves. And now if this young man thought that people should be able to shoot him, well, that's a problem. That's a problem. But I don't think he thought of that at all. I think he was thinking of himself only and doing what came to mind. And sadly, it involved a handgun, 30 shots or so, and tragedy in four households' lives. And then you think of the injured ones, still some that are actively fighting for their lives. And then you think of the ones who weren't hit with a bullet. But this is a sight and sound and experience that will not leave their minds and their hearts maybe the rest of their life.
Sure.
And it's going to impact them in a terrorist way. So how do you deal with that, too? And I think, again, that's where it goes way beyond just putting more rules on guns and on weapons and on schools, but getting back to the heart situations, too, of our culture with the values that we have and the morals.
So real quick, the government will run for, what, 3 more months?
The government will run for 3 more months, and we will have done nothing to address why we have the economic challenges we have. And we will just kick the can down the road. We won't evaluate the programs, whether they're needed or not. And it will be spent, and then we'll come up to a D-Day again, and we'll probably do something similar. I mean, it wasn't the last time we had budgets passed, which is constitutional. We're supposed to pass a budget every year, was when Paul Ryan was Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi hasn't passed a budget yet, and so it's been one CR and one omnibus after another. And that can't continue because we've got programs and bureaucracies that are just continuing that are totally unnecessary at this time and place, or aren't the greatest priority right now when we are coming through a pandemic and all of the costs that were levied then because of pandemic needs and beyond. And so, again, I'm proud of my vote last night. I voted against it. I voted against the CR. And my point was that if it was a one-week CR to give us a little bit more time to actually do negotiations, to bring the Republicans to the table, which they had not been brought to the table, even as of Tuesday when I was in the whip team meeting and the questions was asked of our appropriators, what's happening with this CR? And they said, we have not been asked into the room. This is ridiculous that one party is ruling in such a way that they didn't even have a meeting of the full committee to discuss the movement forward. So that has to change, and I'm willing. I voted for CRs in the past just to get down the road a week or two, but this kicks it into the next year, and we've done nothing to show that we have any attention to the needs of restoring, frankly, sanity to our spending process in government. We just can't keep printing money and taking loans from China.
Congressman Tim Walberg, back in rural Tipton. Have a good weekend, Tim.
We will as well. And, you know, last week when we saw the Go Blue really go. And As I said to my Michigan State friends and colleagues.
Did you win any bets there?
I won something bigger. My Buckeye twin brother and my nephew got the opportunity to hear me in a very unchristian way gloat the entire weekend following that. But I said, you know, look at Michigan State beat the team that beat Ohio State. So the full circle was there in reality. Now, I know Michigan State would have loved to beat Ohio State as well.
You're going big-time political there.
Big time. I mean, we've got it. So let's have a good weekend down in Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tim.